We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, former NFL quarterback, now color analyst for the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm going to introduce Babe as Richie Pettibone used to tell me. Babe Laufenberger was the best preseason quarterback we ever had in Washington.
Wow, Richie Pettibone.
Richie.
Defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Richie.
For Washington.
Yeah, we had him on last year, and we were talking about, you know, difference between preseason and regular season. And he was like, man, let me tell you something about Babe Laufenberger. He's the best preseason quarterback we ever had here in Washington.
Said, that's great. We had a little fun with that. You know, I was a cult hero up there. But by the definition of a cult, you're kind of on the fringe, right? You wanted to be the popular guy, not the cult guy.
But, man, Richie got some stories.
Richie, hello.
I sure will. He tells me, Mike, I sleep until 11:30 in the morning, and then I don't go to bed until about 2:30. He said, what the hell do I have to wake up for?
Hey, I always remember when Bum Phillips, not Wade, Bum, got fired. He was on the Johnny Carson show.
Yeah.
Johnny said, what do you do now? He said, I really got nothing to do. He said, I got nowhere to go. And he said, I don't have to get there until noon tomorrow.
That sounds like exactly what Pettibone's doing now.
Yeah.
Babe,
yeah.
You got a chance to really get to know Kellen Moore. And all indications certainly point toward Kellen Moore being the guy. Now, Saints can't announce anything because, man, this team's been in enough trouble with the NFL. And we saw a couple years back, Jonathan Gannon goes to Arizona for the Super Bowl when they play in the Chiefs, and they have some talk there, and then they got caught tampering and draft choices stripped from. The last thing the Saints need is to have the NFL strip them of draft choices. They need as many as they can get their hands on. But your thoughts on what you've seen and your reaction to Kellen Moore and how he'll adjust to being – that's a big difference between being an assistant coach and a head coach. We talk about Richie, but it happened to him too.
Right. When he became a head coach, they weren't quite as good as they had been in Washington. And I don't know if it was his fault or, you know, players were getting older at that time for Washington. So you kind of think, oh, they're taking over this great team. But sometimes they have great names on the back of the jersey, but they're not the player they once were. Right. That happened to the Cowboys here, you know, those teams of the 90s.
Yeah.
They came out, you know, they're playing now in 99 and 2000, and you're like, wow, there's Emmitt, and there's this guy, and there's that guy. But they weren't they still have the name on the back of the jersey, but they weren't the same player. Obviously, the NFL game takes – it's a war of attrition on your body, and by that time, they kind of all got old together. But getting to Kellen, I love him. I think he's a great coordinator. I know – yeah, to make that next step, like you were talking with Richie Pettibone and anyone. You know, they're all first-time head coaches, right, at some point. Tom Landry was a first-time head coach. Don Shula was a first-time head coach. Now, I'm not saying that'll be Kellen, but the notion that, well, it's a first-time head coach, everybody's doing it for the first time at some point in their career. But I always say, too, that a lot of people say, well, is this guy or that guy ready to command a room? And you're commanding half of the team already as a coordinator. If you were just, let's say, the quarterback coach and you get promoted and you're head coach, you'd say, whoa, that guy dealt with three guys every day in the room. Now you got to deal with 53. And so Kellen's dealt with half the room for his career, really, as a coordinator. And now he'll deal with the other half. It appears. But no, I'm a huge fan of Kellen. You look at the numbers that his teams have put up, the year he and Mike McCarthy parted ways, I don't want to say got fired, but it was certainly mutual. You know, they were fifth in the NFL in scoring that year. The year before, they were second in the NFL. This year in Philly, they're second in the NFL in points scored. So his offenses have always been good, and I've always liked the way he approaches it. Remember, he came from Boise State, and Boise State, back in the day, they were running more shifts and motions and all that stuff. They were more creative than probably 90% of the teams in the NFL. So he's kind of been schooled in that. Obviously, was a four-year starter at Boise. You know, and he's a winner. When he left, he had won more college games than any other quarterback in NCAA history. Now, they're all playing 7 or 8 years, and they've got about 120 starts under their belt. So I don't think he has that record anymore.
Babe, one of the things that impressed me about him, and I didn't know it, how it would react, was – I think he had the reputation of being a pass-happy coach. But you know what? Sean Payton had that reputation, too, when he came out of Dallas. Because I know Parcells would always tell him, you got the virus. You got to learn how to run the ball every once in a while. And I see Kellen go to Philly. And, man, when I look at it, he adjusted his system, babe, to what Philly does best. And that is the fact that they were built to run the ball. Big offensive line, really talented up front, and you got Saquon Barkley running the football. And for me, that was impressive to watch him adjust from being a guy that really liked to throw it downfield, and they still do, but he adjusted his offense to the talent level with the Eagles today.
Okay, I'm going to get to that in a minute. You brought a big smile to my face. I know you can't see it when you talked about Bill Parcells telling Sean he's got the virus. Because I did Bill Parcells' TV show for 4 years, all 4 years when he was in Dallas.
Oh, goodness. Man, that must have been an adventure.
It was the greatest probably 4 years of my life. I mean, he'd come in. He would walk into the room. And I know we're not talking Parcells here, though. But he would walk into the room, and I'd be waiting for him, be at the desk. We stood up, taping the show. He'd walk in, and, I mean, the minute he came through the door, he'd say, let's go. I got a lot on my plate. I don't have that easy TV job like you. Let's go. And then he would sit there, and he would BS for about 30 minutes. And then when he was ready to go, he'd wrap the table. Okay, let's go. I haven't got time for this. I wanted to say, Coach, I'm taking my cue from you. But to your point about Kellen and adjusting at Philadelphia, you know, it's really coaching 101. You're going to look at what you have, what they can do, what they can't do, what they're comfortable doing, and then you're going to tailor your offense to that. And if you notice, too, Philadelphia this year, their first five, six games, they were kind of sputtering a little bit offensively. And then I think finally, Kellen and the team, and obviously it takes you a while. You hope it doesn't take you a year to say, hey, I think we figured this out. But it took about five, 6 weeks, and they started doing the things that Jalen Hurts does well, not doing the things he doesn't do well. And obviously they had Saquon Barkley back there. But I'll say this now. Everybody points to that whole Saquon and the Giants are idiots, and Saquon's the best running back in NFL history. When he was with New York last year, he averaged 3.9 a carry. Now, that's not to say he's not a great back. He is. We know that. But the notion that he was going to do in New York what he has done this year in Philadelphia is just wrong. And I think Kellen's a big part of that with the play calling. And not only the play calling, I always kind of laugh when people say, oh, this guy's a good play caller, and that guy's a good play caller. It's a three-part process. It's what you put in during the week, the plays you put in during the week, how you coach those plays during the week, and then Sunday you get the last third of it, which is the actual play calling.
Babe, when you look at it, would it surprise you what happened in Dallas? I know early on, so much talk about Deion. I never really quite bought that. I thought Jerry would do what Jerry normally does and hire somebody that he, you know, you understand your role when you're the head coach with the Cowboys. And he goes to somebody in Brian Schottenheimer that, you know, he had some history with. But, babe, it's the first time I've ever heard Brian talk for any length of time. Oh, my God, does he sound like his dad? I mean, that tone of voice is exactly like Marty's voice. And I was telling this to Bobby Monday night. I was like, man, Bobby, you got to hear it. And he was like, so we heard a little bit of the tape, and he's like, oh, my God, Mike, you're right. He sounds just like Marty. But was that a real surprise to you from the start once they couldn't come to terms anything long term with Mike and for him to go with Brian Schottenheimer?
Yeah, and you say he sounds like his dad, Marty Schottenheimer. They hope that he wins like his dad.
Oh, yeah, that would be the second part.
His dad was very successful, but honestly, I've been in Dallas. I've been there ever since the Cowboys owner has owned the team. My last 2 years as a player were his first two as an owner. And I've been doing Cowboy games ever since. I think this is coming up on my 29th or 30th year, and if something surprises you, you haven't been following the team.
Yeah,
because nothing surprises me. Although, I mean, I was as surprised, obviously, as anyone about Brian Schottenheimer. But, you know, it's been 35 years of surprises, right? I was there when they fired Jimmy Johnson, and the next day, the very next day, we're in the same room where Jimmy and Jerry parted ways. The very next day, here's Barry introduced as a new head coach. He hadn't coached in 5 years, and he'd never – we're like, Barry Switzer. So long and short, I've learned never to be surprised. You know, hey, can I maybe say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, what I was surprised about was your team. So the Cowboys get them in week two. So naturally, I'm looking at their first game. You get blowout Carolina, 47-10, and I said, "Well, okay, that's great. They look great, but you know it's Carolina." And then they come in to AT&T Stadium, blow out the Cowboys, 44-19. And I sat there and I was thinking, "Man, end of that game." I said, "Man, who's going to beat these guys?" And as it turns out, everybody's going to beat them because the next. You guys had a 7-game losing streak. Is that correct? After the
correct.
Cowboys, yeah.
Yep.
Now, obviously, decimated by injuries, but man, that team over the first couple weeks, and I know you guys had to be excited down there. That team looked like a real playoff contending team that could do something in the playoffs. You ran it well. You know, I've been a fan of Derek Carr more so probably than most, but I thought with the veteran quarterback there and. Everything else around it, the offensive line, I thought, man, these guys are going to be a handful. And then the injuries came, and Cowboys had it last year, 49ers had it, you guys had it, and you just can't overcome them. Next man up is a great philosophy and a great term, and everybody says it, but the next man up is not as good as the guy he replaced.
Hey, tell me who the next man is. I tell them that all the time, babe. That's great for the locker room. That's great to tell the press, but it ain't reality. It's right. Not at all. Charlie has a question
for
you, babe.
Before we let you run, I wanted to ask you about the comments made by guys like Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb about Kellen Moore. You know, he was there from 2019 through 2022 as an OC, but he was also there as a player beforehand. And so Dak kind of talked about becoming a rookie in 2016 and having him in the quarterback room and then later being coached under him and stuff like that. But some numbers, CBS Sports has a great article on this from a couple of years back that the Cowboys from 2019 through 2022, when he was the OC, had plenty of success, 27.7 points per game, which was second in the league. Same thing in yards per game, 376.3. They were only second behind the Chiefs in that time span. And then Dak was asked about him leaving. He said, "For me, quote, for me to come up under him and be in the quarterback room with him the next year before him taking over to be a quarterback coach, fast track to an OC, which he's been phenomenal at, a guy that sees the game, very innovative. He's going to try things. He's been a huge part of my career. I know that he's going to have a lot of success and wherever is next for him." And he just had rave reviews to say about him. Similar thing from CeeDee Lamb, and both guys just raved about this. Kellen Moore is a leader on the offensive side of the football. Just want to get your thoughts on kind of his exit from Dallas and, you know, what he meant to some of those players there with the Cowboys, that very successful run that they had offensively from 2019 through 2022.
As you pointed out, it was a very unique relationship he had with Dak Prescott, because one minute he's a quarterback in the quarterback room, the next minute he's in the quarterback room as a quarterback coach, and the next minute he's in the room as an offensive coordinator. But it's funny, too, because Kellen is young, if you will, by NFL standards of, I believe he's 36. Is that correct?
Yes.
I should have looked that up.
Yes,
okay.
He's 36.
But he's one of those guys, and I've been around him. You know, I've been in and around the NFL for 40 years now, and you can just tell. I've had teammates where I said, "Man, that guy's going to be a heck of a coach." And I've had other guys where I said, "Boy, that guy better not get into coaching because he's going to cost him some wins." But Kellen, his dad was a high school coach, very successful high school coach, who was doing a lot of progressive things in the passing game. So, you know, Kellen grew up with that. You're sitting around the dinner table and you've got that. So then you're at Boise. Again, they were more innovative at Boise back in the day when he was playing than most NFL teams. So while he's 36, I think the learning curve, he's way above that in terms of his experience and the people he's been around. No, I think I could not speak highly enough about Kellen Moore. He's going to be a great hire, if indeed he is a guy, which it appears he will be.
Babe, I won't let you go unless you give me a pick, Super Bowl Sunday. Who you like, Chiefs, Eagles?
Oh.
I know you ain't picking Eagles,
there you
though.
Go.
I'd be surprised if you did.
No, listen, where's the station? You're the flagship for who?
For the Saints.
Okay, and you're going to hire Kellen Moore. So I want you to have the winning offensive coordinator from the Super Bowl. taking over your team. So I'm going to say Philadelphia.
There we go.
Okay, babe. When we get you on next time, I'll let you tell some ABAF stories. See, Bobby wasn't here today, but I know you had a short stint with the Saints. What's it, 86 that you
86,
came?
86, yeah.
Yeah, year one with Coach Mora. Oh, my God.
Bobby and I have been friends, and I see him occasionally. We've done the show. Is he avoiding me?
No. He's avoiding me.
Will you tell Bobby if we need to repair the relationship, I'm ready to get into counseling, okay?
Babe, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it, bud. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All righty. Dallas Cowboy color analyst, also long time as a backup quarterback in the NFL, Babe Laufenberg. And so great to have him on each and every time. Man, he's colorful and great stories. And, man, just think the people he's been around, from Jimmy Johnson to Jerry Jones and Bill Parcells, all those great players when the Cowboys. And it's the great what could have been had they kept Jimmy.
Hey, man, I think still to this day, Jerry, even with his ego, has got to be kicking himself over and over about that, huh, Mike?
Yeah, I would think. But he'll never admit it.
No, he'll never admit it.
Never admit it.